The following message is from Christ Community Church in Athens, Georgia. For more information and sermons, go to www.christ-community.com. Thank you for listening.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year. Good to see you. I want to say, just as we get started, I want to thank you, particularly if you're here as a guest with us. This is the first time you have been in one of our gatherings. It's always awkward to be in a brand new place around people you don't know, singing songs maybe you're not familiar with, so I'm really grateful that you're here. Some of you are here, and it's a brand new year, and you're kind of making a recommitment to your faith, and it's an unbelievably courageous thing to do, and something I'm always excited to see when people do that. And so if you're here and you're walking into 2018 with hopes and dreams that this is going to be a different year, then I'm glad that you're here. Maybe you're here and you're giving God one last shot. You're absolutely in the right place, because my personal conviction, and I'm not just basing that on my own personal experience, but we have a Bible and a history and a belief system that says that the God that you are giving one last chance to is a God who has not and will not abandon you. So wherever you are and whatever you have been experiencing, whatever you're bringing into 2018, God knows. And we believe that he brought you here. Now, having said that, this is what I believe as we walk into 2018. I'm absolutely convinced. I believe that 2018 is a year of blessing. Now, you can't get away from that. If you look at these verses that Clint just read, I mean, you can't get away from this idea of blessing. You know, God saying, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That one word, that one concept, that one idea, that one reality of God's blessing reminds us that as we step into a brand new year, that this is the reason why we can believe that God knows us, that God is with us, that God loves us, that he loves me, that he loves you. Now, there are also a few things we have to pay attention to, patterns that I don't think anybody wants to be part of their life, but things that are true for me, things that are true for you. What you see here in these first three verses is the reality that I don't always want to do what God wants me to do. That I don't really believe that God loves me, and that I don't live with an eye towards helping other people see, understand, be persuaded, and to be convinced and live in light of the fact that God loves them. Now, maybe we should start with a story. So, and by a story, I mean the story. I mean that whether you walk into this room as a follower of Jesus or not, there is one story that unites all of us together, and it's a story that begins with God. It's a story that begins with God creating everything out of nothing and creating everything good, creating a world and a universe in which humanity and creation and God all flow together. We all get along. There is nothing between us that is not good and kind. There is no animosity. There is no warfare. There is no friction or tension between humanity, between us and creation, between us and God. But then, the first people, the first man, the first woman, rebel against God, and they ruin everything. But God doesn't give up on them, and he doesn't give up on his plan. So if Genesis 1 is a God who creates, then Genesis 3 is a God who provides. Provides for his people in real, tangible ways. He tells them to be fruitful and multiply, and they do, and they have kids, and their kids have kids, and their kids have kids, and after generations, you see more and more people filling the earth, and then you see that those people have the same heart as their first parents. Rebelling against God and ruining, breaking, vandalizing everything. And so God wipes out the entire world with this great big flood. But then God promises on the back end of that flood to this one man, Noah, whose family he had saved and rescued, along with all the animals except for unicorns and ligers, apparently. God promises Noah and says, I'm never going to utterly destroy the earth in this way. So go be fruitful and multiply and have babies and flourish and fill the earth. And that's what you see as you get into Genesis 9 and 10. You see Noah's sons having children, and they have children. And you see all these names and all these people, and you get the sense of the world growing and spreading. But then right in the middle of this story of the expansion of humanity. You hear this story about this city and this tower where people decide that they're going to work together. And they're going to work together to not rest in the greatness that God has given them, but to make their name great themselves. This is another way that we rebel against God, that we don't trust in who He says we are. We believe we have to go and create our own identity. And God understanding that when you and I begin to live that way, when these people, if they were left to themselves, they would ruin everything. We're told in Genesis chapter 11, verse 9, that God disperses those people across the world. Now, that isn't a throwaway word. That word in the original language is the idea that when you get a letter from somebody in the mail and it upsets you, it frustrates you, you get a bill that you don't want to have, and you just get angry, and you just tear it up, and you just kind of throw it in the air. That's God dispersing, scattering His people. If all you have of these story is Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 11, verse 9, you have a story that lets you think God is basically breaking up the monopoly of humanity and He is done with the human project. Fade to black, roll the credits, that's the end of the story. Now, the first people to ever hear this story are God's people gathered on the east side of the Jordan River, about to cross into this land, thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of people about to cross a river and walk into a brand new world, a brand new experience. And the message of Genesis, not just Genesis 1 to 11, but all of Genesis, is a message that says to those people, you have an exciting future that only God can bring to life. Now, what we believe about the portability of the message of the Bible, that it's not only true to a bunch of people gathered on the east side of the Jordan River thousands of years ago, but it's true for you and me gathered in this room as well, is that what you can hear from God when you take in the message of Genesis is that as you walk into 2018, God has an exciting future for you that only He can bring to life. Now, the reason we can say that is because after Genesis 11, which is bad news, there's Genesis 12. And so if you want to understand the message, what's at the heart of what Clint just read, what we see in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, here's a way to put it. On the screen, you'll see this. This is the question, okay? Because as you're walking into Genesis 11, the human project is done. The sense that you and I should have any hope that what you and I can create is good, the idea that, you know, what we really need is we just need for humanity to grow and improve and evolve and continue to be its best self. And in the end, humanity will prevail and it will create good things. Genesis 1 to 11 says no. Generation after generation across cultures, that never actually happens. So if you're going to walk into 2018 with hope for the future, then the question that you have to ask at the heart of 2018 is, okay, what can God do next? What is God up to? What does He want to accomplish? Out of all the things we hope for this year, what can God do? What can God do out of the small growth, the disappointments, even the excitement, the great things that have happened to us in 2017? What can God do next? That's what's at the precipice before you read Genesis 12. And then what you read in Genesis 12, one way to put the answer is this. What can God do next? Something that only God can do. Now, if that sounds like the most vague question and vague answer you've ever heard in your life, there's a reason for that. Because the one thing that should come to the surface, and if we're going to rebrand this, we would do this. We would put God in a larger font, in capital letters, to let it scream off the screen that as you walk into 2018 and you're wondering what's coming and you're wondering what's going to happen, then the answer is God. That whatever you hope for, whatever is hardwired into your soul to see happen in 2018, some things that are on a calendar, some things that are in your heart, some things you haven't even dreamed up yet, but all those things that are waiting for you is something that God has put into your head, into your heart, and there's something that only God can create. Now, I'm not particularly interested in just sitting up here and giving my opinion, and you should have absolutely zero interest in walking into a room and hearing the opinion of me or anybody else who stands on a stage and just happens to have you captive for 30 to 40 minutes. What you should be primarily interested in is when I say what we're talking about here is walking into 2018, wondering what God's going to do next, and saying, believing, hoping that it's something that only God can do because it needs to be that big and that significant that we need to make sure we see it here. So here's what's going on in Genesis 12. Genesis 1 to 11, the world is completely broken. Humanity does nothing but ruin and wreck God's original design. But instead of abandoning his plan, God does something unexpected. He chooses one man, this man Abram. And all we know about this man to this point is he's the son of another man named Terah. He's from a town called Ur, which is in the southern part of present-day Iraq. His family had migrated to what is now southern Turkey. He has a wife named Sarai, and that's all we know. Later on, the scriptures will tell us he's a worshiper of other gods. It's not like he's been, you know, a good Christian boy his entire life. God takes somebody completely unexpected and says, I'm going to bless the world through you. I don't think it's difficult for us to look at our world and say, in very real ways, our world is and always has been cursed. Creation is broken. Y'all, we had bomb cyclones just rolling up the East Coast this week. Nations are in conflict with one another. Our president is arguing about whether he has a bigger nuclear button than some other guy. There is evil in every human heart. It's why you and I, why we can't walk into 2018 and go, you know what? You know how 2018 is going to be great? It's because of what I do. It's because of what you do. It's because of what we do. We can't make 2018 great. Only God can. And he does with one single word. With one single word, God reverses the curse. God blesses his world. In shorthand, the blessing of God, when is it experienced in its height and breadth and width and depth? The full dimension of the blessing of God means in this world that everything flourishes and everyone thrives. Isn't that what every single one of us hopes and dreams and wants for the person sitting next to us, for the things that happen in this world? Do we not want that to happen? God's blessing is experienced in creation and in creativity. In the beginning, God created. And you and I are part of that creativity. He made us. He made the world around us. He gave you and me and us and other people the genius of creativity to build and design things. It's a blessing. We experience God's blessing in creation. We experience in salvation. God loved the world so much. God loved the world so much so that in sending his son to live for us and die for us, that's blessing. See, you can look at Genesis 12, and what you should hear is, yes, God blesses Abram. Yes, God blesses the nations. God blesses the world, and God will bless you. In 2018, God will bless you. I want to talk a little bit more about what that means and what that looks like in just a second, but there's something here I want you to notice. So get your eyes on verse 2 of Genesis 12, okay? I want you to see how this goes. There's a rhythm to how this life of blessing is experienced that if you miss it, you're going to miss it. If you miss it, then the blessing that God has intended for you, that has created you for. So, in verse 2, God says to Abram, I will bless you and make your name great. So that's an important phrase there. At the heart of why and how he blesses you, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. I don't think this is very complicated. I don't think this is very difficult for us to understand. The blessing that you crave in the depths of your soul, as a follower of Jesus, or even if you're not a follower of Jesus, the reason why you dream big dreams about justice and truth that you want, for some of us at the deepest fiber of our beings, we want to see the end of things like racism and sexism and poverty. But the reason why, if you're like, look, my life can't even get to that level, I am just trying to survive. So the reason why, when you are in survival mode, you're still digging into opportunities to extend grace and kindness, to forgiveness to people. The reason why that's there is because you've been hardwired not only to receive blessing, but to give and extend the blessing of God to others. So the way this goes is God blesses you, not just to bless you, but he blesses you, and he really does bless you so that you will be a blessing to others, so you will extend the blessing that you have received into the lives of other people. All right, now what does that look like? Some of us do this thing where you choose a word for the year, and we like to put it on social media. More importantly, we like to keep it front and center in front of us. And so I see a lot of us doing this, and I think it's good and helpful. But I've probably been watching people do this for 5 years, 10 years. I don't know. I lose track. I'm getting older. Time it all flows together. I have yet to see somebody use the word obedience. Here's how 2018 is going to go for you and me. God has blessed you. If you're breathing air, he has blessed you by making you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you belong to him. He has saved you. He has blessed you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It is pure, unadulterated, undistilled, 200 proof grace. But from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, what we learn is that if you want to enjoy the blessings of God to its fullest, then you live your life within this sphere of blessing called obedience. So why does God say, believe this, don't believe that, feel this, don't feel that, do this, don't do that? It is so you might understand what it looks like for you to enjoy the blessings of God. Now look at me real quick. It is not, it never has been, nor will it ever be, that you and I obey in order to earn God's blessing. One of the incredible realities that is easy to miss is that God does not bless us by rolling out the 2018 batch of blessing. And then he'll roll out the 2019 batch of blessing, as though it didn't exist before. What we believe and what we should hang our hat on is the fact that all of the blessing that God ever intends to give you to be experienced both now and throughout all eternity is already yours. You have it in full. The limitations of our humanity means that we can only experience that in time and space. And so the reason why we obey, the reason why we lean into this world and the way God has designed it is because you and I experience the blessings of God when we follow the instructions of the one who created the entire thing. So, sweet potato fries. I like them. So, the way this works at our house is when we make them at home, we don't make our own. Let's just stop there. So I go into the freezer, I pull out a bag. The bag tells me to preheat the oven to 450. And then we get out the cookie sheet and we use parchment paper because if you just put it on the cookie sheet or if you put aluminum foil down, put on aluminum foil, it ends up tearing the sweet potatoes to pieces and it's just disappointing. So you lay out the sweet potato fries on the cookie sheet, you put them in the oven after it's preheated and you cook it around 20 minutes. Now, I can cook it for 10 and eat raw, not fully cooked, slightly frozen sweet potato fries. But that's not what they were, how they were created to be eaten and enjoyed, right? I could cook them for 30, and they would be a burnt, crisp mess that would threaten to break my own teeth. I could do that, but that's not how they were created to be eaten and enjoyed. See, guys, I know, because I know my heart and I know your heart, the reason why we don't choose words like obedience and the reason why there's something that rails inside of every single one of us is because we're not home yet. And for those of us who've been following Jesus for a minute or for decades, still struggle with the place and the role and the goodness of obedience in our life. But God says, look, I made you to enjoy life, to experience blessing. And this is the way blessing works out. We live in this world in which God says, go and bless other people, and we do that, okay? So this is what obedience looks like. Obedience looks like, in this part of the Bible, us going and saying, got it. I'm going to go be a blessing to other people. I'm going to be part, I'm going to take my life and join in this great movement of blessing the nations. Jesus later is going to jiggle with this term a little bit and talk about loving your neighbor. And not just talking about the people who are like you. He doesn't just reduce blessing to the people that are right around you, or the people who look like you, or the people who are like you. He leaves the possibility for global realities to happen while also exposing the local opportunities that are there to love and to bless. Now, what we're going to do for this next month is we're going to talk practically about, okay, so if we're not just going to be blessed by God, but if we're going to go be a blessing, what does that need to look like? And we're going to spend time all this month just talking practically about what this looks like. But I want to give you one way to do this. On occasion, we'll ask a question like this. How many of you have someone in your life that isn't a follower of Jesus yet that you know, you care about, you want them to become a Christian, you want them to become a follower of Jesus? You know, how many of you feel that way? And then we'll ask people to raise their hands, and invariably we'll have like 80% of this room that will raise their hands and say, I have somebody like that. It's a parent, it's a child, it's a brother, it's a sister, it's a family member, it's a friend, it's a coworker, it's somebody that I care about. They don't know Jesus yet, and I want that to change. So what if one way that you bless people would be for you to pray, just pray, that God might give you an opportunity to share God's story with that person? Matter of fact, what we want to do as a church is for the next 3 months is we want to partner together in doing this. On your Connect card, go ahead and get it out that we gave you. It's at the bottom of that sheet that we gave you. You'll see the Connect card looks real similar to how we always have it. But you'll see there's a little space that says prayer and a little place for you to put in a check mark or an X or a smiley face, or if you're real creative, some other emoji. And just go, I want to do that. I'm going to pray for this person. We're not asking you to go out today and stand on a corner somewhere. If you want to and tell people about Jesus, that's great. We're not saying, hey, you know what? You need to go out right now when you leave this afternoon, call, text, grab lunch, grab coffee, and, you know, start drawing diagrams. If that's what the Holy Spirit's doing, then go get after it, right? But I'm saying, what if you and I, for the next 3 months, through the end of March, just committed and said, you know what, 3 times a week, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God for the opportunity to do what only God can do, which is to create the right time, the right place, to give me the right words, and by God's grace, maybe give this person the grace of a right response. You can't create that. You can try. Some of us have. That's why some of us are so gun-shy about evangelism. But I want you to imagine the possibilities of what God might be doing in our church over the next 3 months when you and I, like if 100 people were to go, I'm in, I'm checking the box, I'm committed to this, I'm part of this. And so what I want you to do is if you're like, I'm in, I'm going to pray for this person, that person, whoever it is in your mind, you're just saying I'm praying. You leave that in your seat. We pick that up, 100 people fill that out, leave that in their seat. That's 3,600 prayers in the next 3 months. You don't think God's not going to do anything about that? And I'm not like making any great promises that we're going to do 53 baptisms at Easter. No. You don't think that God's going to change us as a people? Because we are intentionally caring for the people God's put around us? And not putting our hope and weight in some kind of strategy or giftedness, but we're just simply going, we're putting our hope in God. If you have any tinge of heart for people who don't know Jesus, you think it's because you're such a great person? You think it's because you're just nice? However little or lot you care about this person that God has put on your heart right now, God cares about them infinitely more. Now, in some sense, that's real easy to do, guys. It's not hard to talk about things that we love. And I want you to notice something else. There's a pattern here in Genesis 12 is that you see all throughout the Bible, and that is Abram comes into contact with God, and he goes. Now, God tells him to go, but God comes to Abram, and Abram experiences God. He meets with God, and God says go, and Abram goes. And you can easily write this off as being an outlier until you read the entire Bible and see over and over again different people come into contact with God, and God says go, and they go. Moses, Isaiah, Peter, Paul, the entire church, seemingly in the New Testament, figures out that this God who comes to us sends us to other people. Now, I don't know if that's going to be across an ocean, and that might be one or two of you. It might be the person who lives next door to you. It might be your difficult brother-in-law. It might be somebody you don't know yet. But there's something natural that should be in the heart of God's people that we see all throughout the scriptures, that when God blesses you, you go bless others. You come into contact with the real Jesus, you end up being a person who moves towards others, who sees the possibility, who wants to see the expansion of God's kingdom. Not out of duty and not out of drudgery. All we have to do is pull up your Instagram feed, your Facebook feed, and we'll see that you believe what God created you to believe, and that is there is nothing happier, no happier place in the world than when you believe that you have found something that will change the world. Whether that's essential oils or your favorite band or a book that you read or a particular experience at a particular restaurant eating a particular meal, or drinking Creature Comforts beer. We're wired for this. It's who we are. But there's a reason we pray, right? I mean, look at Abram's life. God says, go. And in going, he tells Abram, he says, to leave your home, your kindred, your family. In that culture and context, God is saying, I want you to go and leave everything behind. I want you to go and you're going to lose your identity. Everybody's going to wonder, who is Abram? They have no context. You see, if you and I are going to go, it's going to cost us. If you and I are going to go and we're going to bless people, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us things that we hold valuable and dear to us. It's going to cost us time and money. We're part of a church, which means that we're committed to one another, which means we don't just simply live for ourselves, which means, yeah, we're here because this is a very real and tangible way. When we gather together here in this gathering, when we gather together in groups, this is a real tangible way that you and I are not only holding on to the blessings of God, but we're extending those blessings into the lives of other people. This counts. Some of you give up vacations. You come back earlier. You leave later on vacation so you can be here. You skip out on other opportunities that you can do on a weekend so that you can be here. You get here early. You stay here late because you're serving and helping. You're taking care sometimes of other people's snotty-nosed kids. We're all waking up earlier than we want to wake up on a Sunday. Why? This is part of the blessing of God, but it ain't easy. You see, whatever it looks like for you to bless other people, you have to ask God for help. Everything we do in this gathering is gut-wrenching because it's stripping away your self-sufficiency. The very first person who gets the first word is God. Why? Because he knows that you and I don't come here on our own. We don't come here because we love God so much. He brings us, often dragging, into this room and says, you're in the right place. And yeah, we sing songs, but they're songs that are driven not about us and our experience as much as they're about God and who he is and what he's done. And yes, we open and read the Bible, but some of you are having a hard time paying attention, and none of us ever is just completely focused and locked in. And we have to walk away from any gathering and any sermon and go, I don't think I did a great job of listening to God as we open the scriptures. We come to the table and we have to confess that even though God's blessed us, that we struggle and fail to bless him. We pray. Because there's so little of what we can do. And there's not a one of us that wants to be seen as helpless and needy. But we are. And if you're going to share God's story with people, a story that says, yeah, there's a real God who knows the real you and he really does love you, at some point in time, if you're going to be honest and you're going to allow them to understand the depth and the breadth of God's love for them, you're going to have a conversation with them that's going to lead them to a decision about whether or not they're going to agree with God that they are guilty, that they're a sinner. That not only do they need a family, which is fantastic, not only do they need a reason and purpose in life, which God gives, but they also need to be forgiven of their sin. You think that that doesn't risk your relationship with them? It's the reason why some of you are scared to death to open your mouth. Not because you don't know what to say, but because you simply know you don't want to say it. Because you don't want to risk that. See, this is where if we just stop right here and talk about obedience, we're going to walk out of here all cattywampus and upside down. And so please don't miss the good news that's sitting here in Genesis chapter 12. And that is this. Yes, God is calling you to go, and going is going to cost you. Going across the street, in the office, moving, leaving, doing something different, a different career, whatever those things might be. In the ordinary or extraordinary moments and seasons of our life, the reason that you and I will go ultimately is because we believe, hear, and trust in this promise that you see in Genesis 12. As you go, I will bless you. Is that not the pattern here? God says, Abram, go, and as you go, I'm going to bless you. When you go, I'm going to bless you. And if you're having a hard time with this word of bless, you're like, what does this mean? This feels like something that we're going to see in the Golden Globes at some point in time tonight. Somebody's like, God's blessed me. Fine. Just use the word love. Okay? Look at this. I will love you and make your name great. Verse 2, look at it, so that you will be someone who extends that love to others. I will love those who love you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be loved. The blessing of God is the presence of God. You're blessed not only by the tangible material things God gives you, but in and through, and even when those things don't exist, the relationships don't exist, the things that you feel like you need to thrive in life aren't there, you are still blessed if and when God is with you. He loves you because he's with you. He loves you. Hear God say, I love you. And do you remember the story with Jesus where God says to Jesus, you are my son, I love you, I'm proud of you. Do you remember when that happens? It happens at Jesus' baptism. It happens at the start of what we refer to as his public ministry. See, here's the good news. If you and I are going to risk everything, something, anything, we will only do so if and when we see Jesus going first. The God who calls us to go is the God who went first. The God who calls us to bless others is the one who did not wait for us to find him, but he came to us. So look, If you are walking into 2018 and saying, I want more blessing. I want to experience God's love in a real way. I want to hear him say that. I want to see tangible evidence of that. I want to feel that. Go and be a blessing to others. Pray for this person that you're going to pray for. In that act of prayer, don't be surprised when God shows up occasionally. In the back of your mind, every time you pray, going, this is an act of God loving me. This is God blessing me. I have a relationship with him. He hears me, and he's given me a desire to care about other people. As this takes on other forms for us individually and collectively, go and be a blessing, and then trust in the promise that you see in Genesis 12. Don't do what's so easy to do, which is to walk into a place like this and see simple words, go, I will bless you, be a blessing, and just go, man, I just wish we could have seen something a little bit more extravagant or gotten even more practical. God knows what you need. He knows that you need to hear him tell you, go. And as you go, I will bless you. I'll be with you. I'll love you. More blessing. 2018. That's our year.